You'll take your Bible with me this morning and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 this morning. Beginning at verse 25. Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 25. Where the Bible, God's word, says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord God, we pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts by thy Spirit from thy word. Lord, do your precious and perfect work in our hearts by your grace, so that you might receive all the glory. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, if you were a young person, which you were at some point in time, or if you have children, one of the things that kids really love to do is they love to go along the beach and walk along the beach and search for sea glass, right? Every little kid wants to find that one piece of sea glass that shines out brightly, that just sticks out and catches their eye. And you know, they walk up and down the beach, and upon the beach there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of shells. But they want that one piece of sea glass. Now you and I know that piece of sea glass is just some broken piece of a bottle that's been washed around in the ocean for a long while and smoothed out and washes up on shore. And yet they walk along and they're looking, and all these shells, I mean, just, you go down the Niantic boardwalk, that strip right there, and there's just piles of shells. And yet they're not looking for those shells. With all those shells, they're just looking for one little piece of sea glass. And when they find it, they get all excited, and they're the first one to find it, or theirs is green or blue or whatever, and it's better than the other ones. But all the excitement about that one piece of sea glass that they find, and they search and they search and they walk up and down. And when they find it, they're all excited. You know, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, the Bible says this, that the Lord said, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." God said, "I sought for a man, just one man." He said, "I sought for a man that could stand in the gap, that would make a difference." And he says, didn't find it. You know, I would say this morning, that it takes a man who is willing to be really different to make a real difference. It takes a man who is willing to really be uniquely different than everybody else. It's that man that is the one that is able to make a difference. I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill that had a strong burden for the Lord. And he wrote, and one time he wrote, and he said, you know, if one person would really pick up this book and believe it, just one person would pick up this book and really believe it, what a difference they would make. Well, you see, we come to Genesis chapter 4, and if we were to look at Genesis chapter 4, and in fact, Genesis chapter 5, and we were to think of it as that beach and all those seashells, and we're looking for that one little piece that would stand out. That one sea glass, that one piece amongst the rest of all the world that would stand out. Where would we find it? Well, not in Genesis chapter 4. Because in Genesis chapter 4, well, we could say in Abel, yes. But when you come down to Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 16, you see a lot of, well, you see a lot of what you see is prominent in the world today. But as Solomon would say, it's all vanity. It's worthless. For without the presence of Jesus Christ in a person's life, it is vanity. And it won't make a difference. Not an eternal difference. Or it might make a difference somewhere in society for something they've done, but in terms of God, it won't make a difference. You see, in Genesis chapter 4, you can begin looking in verse number 16, and right there you see that we're not going in the right direction. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Well, right there, that statement right there, you can say, you know what? We're not going to find what we're looking for here. In fact, you come down through the line of Cain, and without looking at all the names and all the peoples, you come down to verse number 22, and the last person it mentions in those generations is a man by Tubal Cain. And that means brought out from Cain. It starts with Cain, and the whole thing falls in line with Cain, and it's nothing worth anything there. Oh, there's achievements. Cities are built. Oh, in verse number 17, Cain builds a city. Big deal. I mean, you go down in verse number 18 and 19 and Lamech. Lamech, the name Lamech means powerful. Oh, Lamech thought he was something great. So great that he could defy the laws of God and he could take him two wives and start with immorality and wind up with a life that filled with pride and arrogance and violence and immorality and wind up down in verse number 23. And Lamech said to his wives, "Hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." You can go through the line of Cain, you'll see nothing worth following, nothing worth seeking after, nothing worth looking at for an example. Nothing but sin, misery, and destruction. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, that's the broad way. There's a broad way, folks. Oh, it's wide, and it's broad, and it's easy to get on, and it's easy to follow, but the end is simply destruction, death and destruction. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, there's many going that way. And there's many that are going the way of Cain in verse 16 down through verse number 24. Oh, he built a city. We have down in verse number 20 that Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And oh, they amassed their riches and they sought for all of that. In verse number 21, his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all as such as handled the harp and organ. And there we have all the music industry and all the talent and all the entertainment. In verse number 22, Zillah, she bare Tubal Cain, and an instructor of every artificer, however you say it, in brass and iron. And oh, we have all the inventions and all the technology and all those things don't amount to anything without Christ. Oh, they'll get your names written in the journals and in the periodicals. And you'll get awards and you'll get plaques and you'll get titles and you'll get prominence amongst the world. But God says he seeks for a man that can make up the gap, and you'll find none there. Nothing to look for there. There's no piece of sea glass there to be found. Keep searching. But you see, the thing is, you come to verse number 25, and all of a sudden there's a glimmer of hope. All of a sudden in verse 25, well, maybe we'll find a piece of sea glass along this beach of these generations. For in verse number 25, it begins to change. And you can walk down a beach and you can look and you see nothing. And all of a sudden you see there's a new pile of seashells over there. Maybe over there we'll find something. In verse number 25, you think, well, maybe it'll change. Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son. We call his name Seth because God hath appointed us another one. Here's another man, and maybe through Seth, maybe through Seth we'll find that hope. That piece of sea glass that we're looking for that we can hold up and hold up high and get all excited about. To Seth, born a son, Enos. And then it says, and then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And right there you say, wow, all right, we're gonna find it here. And so you go to the next chapter. You go to chapter 5. And here we see the line of Seth and Enos. And yet, even there, as it says, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. I want to draw your attention to something. Because in the first 20 verses, you don't find anything. Wait a minute, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. You'd expect you'd see great things. You'd expect you'd see great testimonies. You'd expect you'd see a big difference, as we ought to expect from people that claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But you know what it says in those first 20 verses of chapter 5? If I can boil it down without reading all 20 verses, because I really want to get into the message, basically says, man lives, has kids, and dies. That's it, simplified. Enos lived, had kids, Enos died. Let me ask you a question. Where's the uniqueness of that? Cain lived. Cain had kids. Cain died. Lamech had kids. Lamech died. Enos, Seth. All these ones. It simply says they lived, they had children, and they died. And if that is the end of our testimony, of what value is that? Oh, you could say, well, Pastor, search out the names and look. Oh, yeah, we can. The names are given to them by their parents. Many times parents give a child a name and they give them that name, you know. Hopefully, I don't know why people give kids names. I don't know. Well, I know why we gave Donnie his name, after his grandfather's. My dad's name was Donald. So we named him Donald. It's the thing to do. I won't embarrass him by telling him what his mother's father's name was. But, you know, if you get the name Donald Ellsworth, it's because of your grandparents. Oh, I'm sorry. But anyways, we named Crystal Crystal. I don't have a clue why we named her Crystal. We named Angela Angela. We back to the A's. You know, a lot of times people name their kids with hope. My parents named me Douglas. You know what it means? Out of the deep. I have no clue what they meant by that. I don't know. I don't even know what their hope was in that. Out of the deep. I want to ask them, where did that come from? Where did that come from? And yeah, you can search out the meaning of names. You know, back in chapter 4, it's interesting. Verse number 18, there's two names in the line of Cain that have to do with the name of God. Boy, I tell you what, here's how you want to name your kid. In verse number 18, Enoch was born Irad. Irad begat Mahujael. You know what that means? Smitten of God. There's no hope there. Smitten of God. The next one, Methusael means who is of God. There's no hope in chapter 4 in those names, because they had went out from the presence of God. And apart from the presence of God in your life, there is no hope. But we come down and we say, well, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And we go down through and we see this one lived. He had children. He died. This one lived and this one's children. And you get to the point where you say, is there going to be that sea glass, that one piece? And praise God, all of a sudden you come to verse number 21. Or verse number 22, actually. And Enoch walked with God. There's the piece of sea glass along the beach, folks. The one piece of sea glass that finally we found that we can stand up and say, praise God, I found it. In the midst of ungodliness, in the midst of people that claim to know Christ, that claim to say they're calling upon the name of the Lord, but there's no difference, there's no significance, there's no impact. All of a sudden, one man stands out in the genealogy, and it says there's one reason why he stood out. Not because he built a city, not because he had some name that meant something special, not because of anything we see in Genesis chapter 4, but one thing. The man simply walked with God. Oh, that today this world would have men that not only call upon the name of the Lord, that not only say they're saved, but that actually walk with God. That's what will make the difference. Not for some person all of a sudden make a public claim that now he is a Christian. That doesn't count for anything, folks. But the world needs to see an individual that knows what it means and expresses what it means and testifies what it means to walk with God. To walk with God. That's what we need. That's what we need in our lives. That's what our lives need to be. Simply this. Walking with God. So this morning, I want to bring to your attention three things about Enoch's life. Three things about Enoch's life. Enoch walked with God. The first thing is this. Out of all these people in Genesis 4 and Genesis chapter 5, until you come down to Noah, in the last few verses, verse number 29. Until you come down to Noah, we only have the testimony of one man. One man. You know the first thing we've noticed, the first thing we must notice, the first thing God wants us to notice about this man that made him different. The one thing that will really make a difference is this man had a close relationship with God. Oh, it says men began to call upon the name of the Lord. They said they had a relationship with God. They claimed to have a relationship with God. But this man, if you knew Enoch, you knew he had a relationship with God. Because his relationship with God was close. It wasn't his lips that spoke and made some boast or some claim. It wasn't that he put a bumper sticker on his car. It wasn't that he put a sign up in the front lawn that said, I'm a Christian. No, this man had a testimony of his life. And the testimony was this. He walked with God. Number one, he had a close relationship with God. Go over to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us about his close relationship with God. In Hebrews chapter 11, and a close relationship with God, a man that walks with God, the testimony of that man's life will not cease to be powerful when he dies. But it will continue to speak on and on and on. in Hebrews chapter 11. And I hope you're not going to be there tonight, Pastor Donnie. But in Hebrews chapter 11, and if you are, I got there first. But in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 4, it says this, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And then the very next person that's mentioned, in all of Genesis 4 and all of Genesis 5, the only person that's mentioned is this, and by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, in other words, in his life, he had this testimony. Before he was translated, before God took him home, this was the testimony that God bears witness to this man's life. This was not the testimony that Enoch wrote. It was not the testimony that his father or his sons or anybody else wrote. It was not the words of men. This is the testimony of God regarding a man's life that lived upon the face of this earth and impacted the world for Jesus Christ. God said, here's his testimony. We stand and give testimonies. And we stand and give testimonies about others. And we make recommendations and commendations. But oh, when God stands up and gives a testimony, there's the truth. And what would God say if he were to stand up this morning and give a testimony about your life or mine? What would God say? What would God write in the newspaper? What would God write across the sky? What would God speak? If God were to stand up and say, this is the testimony of your life. Here's what God said. He had this testimony. Simply this. And yet think of how powerful it is. He pleased God. He pleased God. He pleased God. And then it goes on to explain it. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So therefore, his life was a life of faith. He walked with God by faith. He believed God. Like Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against this day. But not only did he believe God, he trusted God. Because the faith that is spoken about in Hebrews chapter 11 says he believed God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. Stop and consider for a moment. Enoch didn't have a Bible. Enoch's a seventh generation down from Adam. He didn't have what you and I have. He didn't have the complete scriptures, but he believed God. He believed who God was, and he knew God personally, and he walked with God. He had this testimony that he pleased God because he lived a life of faith. He must believe that he is, but then it says this, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? That diligently seek him. You want the testimony of Enoch's life? It was simply this. God said he had faith. He believed me. He trusted me. God said he diligently sought me. You know why there's a difference in the life of Enoch from all the other names that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 4? Because in Genesis chapter 4, we have a list of names that typifies typical and normal Christianity of today. People that say they call upon the name of the Lord, say they have a relationship with God, and yet don't know the first thing about diligently seeking after God on a daily basis. We have casual Christianity. Enoch didn't have no casual Christianity. Enoch had a close relationship with God. And every day of his life, he says, there's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to seek my God, and I'm going to seek him diligently. and I'm going to seek his face because I believe him, I trust him, and I want to please him. We get too caught up in pleasing everybody else. Enoch says, I don't care about anybody else. I'm going to please God. And folks, if we're going to make a difference, we've got to snap out of our casual Christianity. Walk by faith. Diligently seek him that we might please him regardless of anybody else. You see, it's the man that's willing to be really different. That man makes a real difference. And number one, Enoch, he had a close relationship with God. He had a close relationship with God. But you know, there's something else about Enoch's life that we can see. If you turn over to the book of Jude, his life was one that brought conviction to others. In the book of Jude, isn't one of the passages speaks about Enoch. And I want to take a little time in the book of Jude this morning, in this second point. Because he was a man that had a close relationship with God. And when you have a close relationship with God, it's going to be a righteous relationship. You take time to read 1 John chapter 1. If you say that you have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, you lie. You do not the truth. Because God is light, and in him is there no darkness at all. And Enoch's life was one that brought conviction of the righteous judgment of God. You know, you're reading in the book of Jude, and Jude says we must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And he goes on to speak about certain men crept in unawares in verse number 4, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the man that stands up and claims to know God and yet lives an ungodly life doesn't know the first thing about the God of the Bible. Don't stand up and claim to know God and then live an ungodly life. You're denying the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. God is holy and God is righteous. God wants his people to live a holy and righteous life. We see that in the life of Enoch. Jude writes about ungodly men turning the godliness and the righteousness of God into the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to speak about them. You come down to verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruits wither, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Who's he speaking about? Ungodly men that claim to be godly. That turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. But then look at, Jude only mentions one person out of all the Bible, out of all the scriptures, out of all the people Jude could mention at this point, out of all the individuals that Jude could mention. He could mention Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. He could mention Peter and James and Paul and John. He could mention all these people and he mentions one person. God brings our attention to one person. One person that all the Bible says is he walked with God. He believed God. He diligently sought God. He sought to please God. And the Bible says his life brought conviction. Because you know what it says? Look at verse number 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying this, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Enoch's life and his message was one of the righteous judgment of God that brings conviction. But now may I say this, because I'm going to go on to the book of Jude. Because I said this, a man that is willing to be really different makes a real difference. You might think from reading verse number 14 that Enoch was one of these men that just stood up and shouted about the judgment of God, the righteous judgment of God. Oh, he might have preached it. But Jude goes on to explain some more about how even a man like Enoch preaching the righteous judgment of God can make a difference. And he says some things, and I want to bring your attention to them. Verse 16, but beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, was this not the testimony of Enoch? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Does not it say in Hebrews chapter 11 that Enoch walked by faith? That he believed God? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He diligently sought God. He pleased God. It says, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Beloved, build up your faith. Build your relationship with God. Get a close relationship with God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourself in the love of God. Because without those three things, you're not going to make a difference. Build yourself up in your faith. Diligently seek the Lord. Keep yourselves. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And here's how the difference will be made. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And even as you know and you speak and your life convicts of the righteous judgment of God, it's not with pride, it's not with arrogance, but with a heart that's constrained by the love of Christ that breaks and is burdened and weeps and will do anything for that person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And that only comes from a close walk with God. Faith that is real. Faith that is strong. A walk with God that is close. That is bathed in prayer and praise not only for yourself, but praise for the multitudes that are lost and without Christ. And you keep yourself in the love of God, and you know that it's only by the grace and mercy of God that you are the one that's saved and not condemned to a lake of fire. It's that love of Christ to you that burns and keeps you humble. Does not allow the stinking root of pride to rise up. But you understand it's only by the mercy of God. God, who is rich in His mercy, quickened me together with Christ. By grace I'm saved through faith. Not of myself, but only of God. It's His gift. Not of any of my works. All my works of righteousness are as filthy rags. But He loved me, and He gave Himself for me. Because of that, I don't fear death. I don't fear the wrath of God. I've been delivered from the wrath of God. There's no condemnation anymore. But that person without Christ, what about them? It says, if some have compassion, making a difference. compassion. The love of God shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. Love of Christ constrains us. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave himself to be the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only. Not for ours only. But for the sins of the whole world. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And it says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And so Enoch's life, boy, it stood out. He had a close relationship with God. He walked with God. Oh, his life brought conviction of the righteous judgment of God. But Enoch's life was one that would have an impact. And our life can have an impact. An impact on others. An impact on the lost. If we walk by faith, if we draw nigh to God, if we diligently seek God, if we keep ourselves in the love of God, we build up our most holy faith, we pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says we can have a difference. We can have a difference. With compassion, with fear. That's the impact that God wants us to have. But you know, Enoch's life not only had an impact on the lost, but his life also had an impact on the saved. You know, you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, and it says, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a, what's that next word? A what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch got rewarded, man. Tell you what, talk about a reward. Amen? Enoch walked with God, and all of a sudden he was not. Enoch walked with God and people saw him, they heard him, they lived with him, they knew him, and all of a sudden, gone. Gone. You know why? Because God said, here's a man that diligently seeks me. And I'm going to reward that man's faith, his relationship, his testimony. God said, come on, Enoch. Home. And he took him. I would have liked to have been there, but I would have liked to have been there with my arm around Enoch. I wouldn't want to have been there just standing watching. I would have wanted to have been, yeah. Right? And what's that a picture of? The comfort that God gives to us. The comfort of the rapture. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Enoch walked with God and God took him. Hear this testimony that he pleased God. He was not, for God translated him. And Enoch's life not only speaks of conviction to the sinner, but comfort to the saints. Hey, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Listen. This is what Enoch's life. This is. God took him. God just took him home. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but I would not, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. No hope in Genesis chapter 4. No hope. And Cain goes out from the presence of the Lord. There's no hope. Just an expectation of judgment and condemnation by the Lord. If Cain was judged 7 times, Lamech says it's going to be 70 times 7 for me. Righteous judgment of God. But look what it says here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, this passage of Scripture, this truth ought to grip our hearts. This ought to grip our hearts. The reality of it, the truth of it, the wonder of the picture, the reality is seen in the life of Enoch. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the grave to show that he had the power of resurrection, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. Enoch, come up hither. And guess what? Enoch went. God wants us to know the reality of this, folks. He wants us to live with the reality of this. He wants us to love his appearing. Paul says, Paul spoke about that he had finished his course, he says, and the Lord's going to give a crown of righteousness to all them that love his appearing. Paul writes to Titus, and he says, we're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might purify us from all iniquity. And here it says we're to comfort one another. Enoch's life brings comfort to us. His testimony still goes on. Because way back in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch walked with God and God took him. And he was not, for God took him. And here the man's testimony speaks and continues to speak and has an impact even today. That God says, look it, when you read about the translation of the saints, when you read about the rapture, you don't think it can happen? Go back. I already done it. Or I already did it. I did it. I called him home. He's gone. He's out. He's not around. And that's our comfort, folks. That's our blessed hope. And so when you look at the life of Enoch, go through Genesis chapter 4. Don't stay in Genesis chapter 4. But you go down through Genesis chapter 5 and you see a lot of people that they're calling upon the name of the Lord. But where's the difference? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God wants to use you and me to impact this world. He says in the book of Jude, we can make a difference. But the only way we'll make a difference is if we're willing to be really different. When I mean really different, I mean that we walk with God. That we really walk with God. Well, that we don't just talk the talk. We don't just say, yeah, I'm walking with God. No, we really walk with God. We walk with God. We please God. We have a conviction of the righteous judgment of God that bears heavy upon our soul. Not that we worry about it, because we're free from it. There's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But it brings conviction to us because of the lost around us. It weighs heavy upon our heart that, you know what? If I'm going to walk with God and please God, then my heart must be concerned more with God and more with others than anything about myself. See, that was Enoch's life. Enoch walked with God. He had a close relationship with God. He pleased God. He lived by faith. He sought God diligently. And his life brought conviction about the righteous judgment of God, that there is a God. When you walk with God, people will see and know that there is a God. They'll see the difference. And you'll be able to have compassion to make a difference. And some you'll save with fear, hating the garment, pulling them out of the fire. And you'll be a blessing and encouragement to others that know the Lord, because your life will bear witness to the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. But remember this, just like that beach out there, just like that beach out there with thousands upon thousands of shells that litter. It's not really litter though, is it? But that lay upon the beach. Are you that one? Are you that one that the world is looking for to see a difference? Have a close walk with God. Have a close walk with God. Simply says this, Enoch walked with God. You and I can do the same thing. Enoch walked with God. May that be said of us. Let's pray.